Welcome back to this week's episode of the Electric Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, your host, and I'm joined as usual by Seth Winchell. How are you doing, Seth?
Good, Fred. How are you?
I'm doing great. And if you can see, we have a little different setup here today. Something that we're trying out. It's not the final setup. It's just something we're trying to this week. Then we'll try to improve it in the next episodes. But plenty to talk about this week. It was basically Scoop Central in Electric this week. But first off, we're going to start out with something that happened basically right after our last episode. So it was a full week ago, but we still need to address it. I'm talking about, of course, Elon announcing that Tesla is not going private anymore. It's staying public. So that was a shock for everyone, because for the last 2 weeks, it looks like he was really pushing for Tesla to be private. But in a blog post and an email to employees, as well as a statement from the board, he came to the conclusion that it wasn't as easy, basically, what he thought it was going to be. That was basically what I got out of his announcement, is that he thought that it was going to be too difficult for retail investors to stay invested in Tesla after the move. And that's something that a lot of people were afraid of, and it was basically confirmed by Elon. So he thought it was going to be a way around it, and his financial advisors, didn't actually see that.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a well thought out whole situation, and if that was, I think if they had it to do over again, they might decide to do that behind closed doors privately rather than on Twitter, you know, and I think there's still probably an SEC inquiry.
There's definitely an SEC inquiry, that's for sure.
Still looming over the tweet. So,
yeah, that's what we learned basically on Friday when he posted that Friday night. But we got a much better look from a report from the Wall Street Journal that followed on Sunday, and in that report, based on sources in the banking industry that were involved in the deal, the take private deal, they painted a much clearer situation about a meeting that happened last week, where the bankers presented an actual deal that would have ended up with Tesla going private, but that deal wasn't up to Elon's standard, apparently. So Silver Lake, the investment for Silver Lake, and Volkswagen were apparently the two biggest investors in the deal. They were ready to contribute as much as $30 billion. But again, based on the sources that were at that meeting, Elon was concerned about... what did I lose here? Well, that's not great.
there goes all the web pages.
Yeah. All right. We're going to move on for this one. So what happened is that... sorry, I lost my train of thought here. Oh, yeah. He was concerned that Volkswagen, an established automaker that has some... like a tumultuous past, to say the least, especially with the latest concern with the Dieselgate scandal and everything, would gain too much control over Tesla. And Tesla has an history with having established automaker, legacy automakers as investors. We're talking about Daimler back in 2009, Toyota back in 2010. And those guys had a big investment in Tesla, as much as 5-10% at some point. I think Daimler has had 10% at some point. And they ended up divesting over the years, so now they are not invested in Tesla anymore. But he didn't want a similar situation with Volkswagen, even though they wouldn't have a majority ownership of the company, so they shouldn't be able to take any actions. That said, apparently... the investment itself came with some conditions that were never really revealed. So maybe some sharing of technology, or I don't know what else it could have been. Do you have any idea, Seth?
I don't know. It's there's so many concerns, because all of the people who are possibly rumored to pick up Tesla. Obviously, there's concerns with the Saudis. And then Silver Lake Partners, they're known for being a kind of pump and dump organization. Like they bought, I think, PayPal, did a bunch of, cleaning house, and then sold it to Microsoft. Sorry, not PayPal, Skype.
Skype, yeah.
Yeah, and then I think they might have actually had something to do with PayPal at some point. Anyway.
Will it explain the link with Elon?
Yeah, and actually, I know one of the guys, Glenn Hutchins, over there a little bit. They're very smart people, and obviously very rich with all the deals they've done. So they do have a lot of money and a lot of backers. It's hard to say on Volkswagen. Like, they're such a big company that it's hard to imagine there not being some conflicts.
Yeah, they have a big investment in electrification right now too. But yeah, that was what came out of that article, which was very interesting. So Elon basically backed off there for those reasons, and also for the fact that the actual process for a retail investor to retain their shares once going private was a lot more difficult. Same thing also for the institutional investors. So a lot of institutional investors, which are the biggest investor after Elon Musk in Tesla, they told him that it's not impossible for them to retain their shares in a take private deal, but it would be very difficult. So they were telling him, please don't do that.
Right. And it's funny, anecdotally, I've heard twice that one of the board of directors, when Elon told them that he was giving up the effort to go private, screamed "woohoo" or something like.
Yeah, cheered. He said that it was that he cheered when he said that during the board meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. So who do you think that was?
Yeah. Well, the what was weird is was the, there were
Maybe
a lot of
Kimball.
Board leaks during that old 2 weeks of two three right. weeks that whatever it was that they were looking to go private. There were a bunch.
So I wonder who leaked the Wall Street Journal. Like,
no, the Wall Street Journal seems to be completely based on banker sources. So
the one today or the one?
Oh, no, the new article that came out. Okay. Today, I don't know. That wasn't the board, I think, though. That was like a tour of the factory, so I'm not
right.
sure. But for the article that came out last week, that was clearly from banking. So Morgan Stanley was involved, Goldman Sachs was involved, so a bunch of those people. But other articles came out, so things about board concerns of Elon's drug use and all those similar leaks that came out. And historically, there haven't been many leaks with Tesla's board. I mean, I don't remember any really in the 3 years that I've been covering Tesla. So the fact that there's now new leaks and there are a bunch of new board members, well, a bunch, like two new board members in the past they've been there for a while, like a few months.
And one
now.
Comes from a media company.
Both, I think. Well, there's the Fox guy for sure, and Fox did add a few scoops from right. leaks from the board. So that one is very suspicious for sure. Yeah. So it's if Elon is looking as the board, like who's leaking the information when that article came out in Fox Business or Fox News or whatever it was.
Right.
I think you're looking at James Murdoch in this case. But speaking of scoop, we had our fair share of scoops too this week about Tesla. Starting earlier this week with Tesla being on track for the production record this quarter, but slightly behind on their ambitious Model 3 goal. So we have a very reliable source that gave us the numbers for the quarter for the production for Tesla. And revealed that was back on, that was Monday, right? The 27th, that was Monday, I think.
He gave us a whole lot more than that.
Yeah. what's interesting to us right now is the current quarter. And we're going to have, people that are listening right now, we're going to have a little exclusive, podcast exclusive, because I got an update from those numbers from, that was Monday, then so they had the whole week of production. And I got those numbers too. an article is going to come out later about it, but I just got them like minutes ago, so we're going to check that out.
But you just got it on your phone right now?
Yeah, really. That's an expensive phone. So back on Monday, that was 47,000 vehicles produced today during the quarter, and just under 30,000 of those were Model 3s. So what that, does that mean is that in terms of overall production, Tesla is doing great. But in terms of Model 3s, definitely trending a little bit behind their goal of 50 to 55,000 Model 3s during the quarter. And that was very controversial. I got a bunch of email and comments about that. Tesla never actually got back to 5,000 a week during the third quarter. So that was the big news, 5,000 in a week, the last week of June, the second quarter. Then earlier this month, Tesla said that they had a comment about we were able to maintain the 5,000 per week. But what they actually said in that note was approximately they reach approximately 5,000 multiple times during the month of July. So people were under the impression that Tesla is just producing 5,000 cars a week now every week. That's just not true, unfortunately, based on my source, which I can assure you is very accurate. It's still like Tesla could still contest the number for sure, because it always depends on how do you account a car to be produced. So there are a bunch of different points in the production process you could account the car to be produced. But the way, I'm not going to disclose which way is that in this case, just protect the sources, but it's very accurate. So maybe like 1 or 2% max off, probably less than 1% really. And my point is, Tesla did get close to 5,000 a few times, just over 4,900 at one point. So that could mean why, that the correct count why Tesla said approximately 5,000. I get that, but at one point it was fewer than 3,500. And that was the week of 4th of July, though, so that's understandable. But it was a bunch of other times that was much closer to 4,000 than to 5,000 for sure. So very still volatile production.
And we were actually hoping to see closer to 6,000 by the end of, do you say August or September?
August. So that's the new number that I should disclose right now. I can tell you right now, it's not 6,000. It's just not. Of course, again, it depends. So Tesla could account for the week, like starting like Sunday, last Sunday, and then go all the way through tomorrow. So we don't know. But those production numbers that I disclosed were on the moving 7 days point. So there was never a 7 day period during which Tesla produced more than 5,000 units. And the last 7 days. About 6,400 total. That's total Model 3.
Including
S and
my
X.
Last and X. Yeah.
For Model 3s, it was around 4,300.
Respectable.
Yeah, it's not bad, but it's not 5,000 and it's not 6,000 as promised.
I mean, it's important to put this into perspective. Tesla right now is producing more electric vehicles in one factory than almost the rest of the world combined. Like it's crazy how many electric vehicles Tesla is making comparatively to the rest of the country, you know, rest of the planet. So 4,000 or 6,000, yeah.
Yeah, 6,400 total, which is very good. About 4,300 for Model 3. That adds up to about 53,000 total to date for the quarter, which is very good, because when you think about it, that was what Tesla produced during the entire second quarter last year. Not last year, last quarter, the second quarter this year. So Tesla right now has produced just as many cars they produced last quarter, but they still have a full month to go in the current quarter. So it's going to be a big record for sure. As for Model 3, just over 34,000 and around 34,700, which also pretty good, more than last quarter for sure. Though Tesla was aiming for 50 to 55,000 by the end of the quarter. So that's they should hit at least the lower hand because it's trending a little bit up over the past 2 weeks. So if it continues to do so, even if Tesla doesn't get the 6,000 a week, which they might by the end of next month, they should at least get the lower end of the 50 to 55,000 units during the quarter. Oh, I still closed all the windows. I don't know how to do that because I'm
so the quarter just ended, right? Or no, the quarter ends.
The quarter ends next month.
At the end of September. Okay, so we're 2/3 of the way through the quarter, and they're at 34,000. You said total.
For Model 3 or
for everything.
For everything, no, they have almost 53 already. They're going to be at 53. They're going to be at 53 by the end of the day. If production is continuing, because the number was like earlier in the day today.
So we're looking at over 75,000 if they just continue where they're at right now, total cars, just this quarter.
Yeah.
And then what is their count on, so actually like 70, closer to 80,000 actually.
Yeah, definitely over 70, closer to 80, but it always depends on how the production is doing in the next few weeks.
And then what was the Model 3 tally, the latest Model 3 tally for?
It was over 34,000, like 34,500 or so about.
All right, so plus 17, that's about 53. So they're looking at 53,000 Model 3s for the quarter?
Well, if they continue producing
at the current rate.
At the current rate. They're gonna have about 17 plus, yeah, around 52,000. So they're gonna hit the lower end of their guidance. But like I said, they could trend up, gonna continue to trend up because they were supposed to get the 6,000. They didn't get it this week unless there's a big production tomorrow and they account for the week from Sunday to Saturday. Even though it's not in August anymore tomorrow. So they have we know that Tesla is likes to play with the numbers a little bit, like embellish a little bit the thing with they could also just say like the last 3 days or so the numbers were higher and they could extrapolate that for a full week. So there's a bunch of things they can do.
Right, but, and then it's all hands on board for the last 2 or 3 days of the quarter where they just don't stop the lines and everything's full bore.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make a bunch of mistakes and have to repair those before they go out.
Yeah. The only thing I want to note about those numbers, and I'm going to make an article about it later if I have time, so it's going to be more clear and everything. But what people should know, if people are following the Tesla space, I know, because unless you only follow electric, if you only follow electric, you're going to be okay in this case. But we understand that most people don't just do that, and they follow Bloomberg and other outlets. And what those numbers show this week is for sure you shouldn't follow the Bloomberg tracker, that is Model 3 tracker, which has been very popular, I know. What my numbers showed is that for sure that those are just not accurate at all. Most of the time, the weekly rate is like 1,000 car off, sometimes even 2,000 cars off. They, based on their tracker, they said that last week Tesla produced over 6,000 units.
But what are they even basing that on besides like Elon's tweets?
They said that it's a bunch of things, but it's mainly a VIN tracker. So it's mainly
right, the VIN numbers.
New VIN being registered, but also owners reporting their VIN themselves to Bloomberg. So I don't know exactly how they do it, but it's not accurate at all. And not even that, like the not even the weekly production rate. But if you look, when I posted that article earlier this week, we checked and there were 6,000 car off for the Model 3 production during the quarter. So on a $30,000 production of cars, it's way off. So just and they post article about that, like they said, oh, Tesla is getting close to 6,000 a week now, and they're just not. So basically the moral of the story, follow electric instead. You're gonna get more accurate information. So that's for the production part of the Model 3. But You need to, once the car is produced, you need to deliver it. And Tesla has had some difficulties delivering the cars, because the workload is now a lot bigger, and now they're producing, like we said, over 6,000 cars a week. 6,000 cars. Just a few, like a year ago, Tesla was delivering 2,000 cars a week. So a 3-time increase over a period of less than a year. Completely different game here. Not only that, that was 2,000 cars global. Now that the over 6,000 cars per week, the increase was almost exclusively in North America, because the Model 3 is still only being delivered in the US and in Canada. So the workload...
They needed to build a delivery organization.
Exactly. So they rebuilt the whole delivery organization, and that's what we reported on this week. Again, from some very reliable sources that we thank a lot. Thank you. They described the whole new organization that Tesla is building in the U.S. and in Canada. So what they did... actually, that was a scoop, the whole new organization, but... The main hire for that was Kate Pearson, which Tesla announced themselves a few months back. They hired her from Walmart. She was a delivery operation executive at Walmart. Not a delivery operation, but just an operation executive at Walmart. And now she took the lead role for delivery operation at Tesla. And she basically built a whole new organization for the company in North America. They broke down the regions in three main regions, the West, Central, and East. And that's for all the regions where they have delivery hubs, basically delivery centers and delivery hubs, which can be their home facilities, or they can assign a specific store or service center as a delivery hub. There's some regions that don't have those. Those regions are still on their inside sales for deliveries. But For the regions that I'm going to list there, the delivery organization is now outside of the sales organization, so it's a brand new organization focused with a brand new leadership, basically. So they promoted a bunch of people from within the companies, including Brett Zerini for the West Coast, but not just West Coast in Canada, and BCs and everything, not just the U.S., for Central, they hired a new guy from Best Buy, an executive for Best Buy. Now he's in charge of of Central U.S., Central Canada. And the East is being handled by Bridget Teeter, who was an internal, was promoted from within the company. And under those guys, there's a bunch of other new hires and new people within the company that's been promoted as leadership position for smaller region within those regions that I just listed, including a bunch of hires from Apple and a bunch of hires from Amazon too. So, of course, Amazon is known for being very good at deliveries. See, that's what they do. So They used to be. Did they have issue now with Amazon?
You don't get Prime stuff 2 days. It takes 3 or 4 every single time for me now.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I never had any problem with Amazon Prime, really. Must depend on region and fulfillment in the region. So that specific region, like was the head of fulfillment for Amazon Prime in Houston, Texas, Houston.
Unless you're saying Houston Street in New York, then it's Houston.
No, Houston. And the guy was actually before working for Amazon, he was in the Air Force, and he was the director of operation for Air Force One.
Obama years? What years?
During the Obama years.
Oh, boy.
I just thought it was a cool thing to mention. Furthermore, about those all deliveries operation, that's more a end of a quarter thing, and Tesla's been doing that every end of quarter. They hire a bunch of temporary employees to help with deliveries, but this year the numbers are much higher. We talked to people about the hires in 3 months, 50 to 100 employees just for 3 months to help with deliveries with the end of the quarters. About 40 people just to get people to register for test drives. They hire 40 people just for that. So if you're on Tesla's marketing list, you're probably going to get a call from Tesla about a test drive for sure. And yeah, so that's basically Tesla building out the new delivery organization to handle that higher volume. And they need it. they need it for sure, because deliveries right now with the Model 3s, it's a mess. We're looking into that more. So if you guys have stories about that and you're willing to go on the record, you can reach out, because I'm working on that right now. Because I'm hearing a ton of horror stories that are just not fun. And myself included right now, I saw that you guys in the comments asked a bunch of questions about my own situation. And it's still, I'm still in a limbo right now. So 3 weeks ago, they told me that my car was going to be produced that week, the week of the 13th. It wasn't. Then they're going to tell me, you know, they're going to give me an update. A week later, I reach out, still nothing. The car is not in production, they said, so it's a week behind in production. Same thing last week, still not in production. And so I reached out again yesterday, and they still told me, they tell me there's no problem with your car. Your car is okay. Like, it's not behind, but it's not behind. I mean, it's you told me it was going to be in production 3 weeks ago. It's not. There's just something wrong with it. It's just, we just haven't produced your car yet. Everything is okay.
I think PR put the brakes on your car until Motor Trend can get a full video review of the performance, because they'll be crybabies if we have a review before Motor Trend.
Yeah, that's maybe our us being too like conspiracy theorists here.
Yeah,
but I mean, it is a bummer, because Tesla is not playing with us for a review of the performance Model 3. They don't want to give us a car. And they did with a bunch of other publications. They're not doing it for us.
Well, they did let us. To be fair, they did let us drive around LA traffic for almost an hour.
Yeah, that was really nice of them.
But
now a bunch of other publications are getting like real time on test track and everything, and we're not among those, which is fine. We were hoping to use my own car to do a review. So being impartial and having Tesla's PR on our back and everything to do the review, but they're just not delivering my car. But I just got another update here from Tesla.
Just now?
Yeah.
It's funny, because during this podcast, the guy, my neighbor, who has been complaining, is getting his on Wednesday. But they went radio silent on him for like 3 weeks. Like, they said, your car is being built, and then nothing. Like, won't return phone calls, like, won't answer the phone. And to just like an hour ago, or not even an hour ago, like 10 minutes ago, he emailed me and said Tesla got a hold of him today, and he's going to get his car on Wednesday. But it's not a performance. No. It's just a all-wheel drive.
Well, good for him. Yeah. But that's the thing. I've heard other stories, too, of people getting a delivery date, and Tesla just pushing the delivery date again. I've never even got a delivery date. I got a production date, and they just said that they're not respecting the production date.
Do you have a,
I just got an update right now, and basically what they're saying is that your car is not late. It's still within your delivery window. Yeah, it's within the delivery window, but that's not the problem. The problem is that you told me that it was going to be in production a certain time, and it's not in production, so there is a delay for sure.
Wait, is that an email from Tesla, or is it from PR?
Now it's from PR now, because I was saying I was going to write about those delays that I've been hearing about, including my own. So I gave my own as an example too, and they said, no, it's okay. And they said that the Canadian builds started a few days later than expected. A few days, like a few weeks, you mean? Like this?
I have a theory already. Ago.
Yeah, go ahead.
So because you have until September 10th to get in a car in Ontario, all the Tesla Model 3s are going to Ontario.
Yeah, doesn't make sense though, because they were in limbo for weeks for that, during the time that my car was supposed to be in production. So my car was going to go in production during that time, it was the time to do it 3 weeks ago when they told me it was going to, and they didn't. So it's production delays for sure. And they just confirmed it, like, but they basically lied, like, with a few days of production behind. It's a few weeks production behind. But yeah, so I had some concern, and maybe it was just because of my configuration and everything, but it looks like my configuration has gone in production now. So the Canadian build that they just mentioned, a bunch of other people are taking delivery too. The car went in production weeks ago. For the all-wheel drive, for the performance Model 3s, I've heard of people getting delivery dates, so doesn't make sense, really. Tesla has issues with a bunch of specific cars, so I'm thinking it's more like production problems than anything else, really.
It's not the Trump trade deal? No.
Yeah, I haven't heard of any.
No, they're negotiating. There's just a silly trade thing going on right now.
Yeah, I know there's a trade thing, but I haven't heard of anything like any new tariff from a car from the U.S. to Canada.
I don't think so. We'll find out soon or Wednesday.
I already ordered anyway, so they cannot change the pricing or anything. So
right.
I doubt that if there's anything they could frame a price.
I don't think it's realistic, but yeah, it would be nice to get that car.
Yeah, I want to try the car too, and we want to review it. But the way it looks right now, I mean, I doubt that's. I'm aiming like mid next month. Maybe I can get a delivery if I'm lucky. And
maybe then, you should ask PR if it comes with winter tires, because that's about when you're going to get your delivery.
Yeah. Basically, right? And we're going to San Francisco next month, mid next month too. So, like, if I can get the review out late next month, that's like best case scenario right now, I think, which is really disappointing, really. But hey, what you gonna do? So we're gonna keep you updated with that in the next few days, because I expect Tesla to comment on that. But I don't think they're gonna say that there's no problem and everything is in the. So moving on, Tesla Semi appears to be on tour in the past few weeks, and it's accumulating a lot of mileage because it's been spotted in New Mexico, it's been spotted in Arkansas, it's been spotted in Illinois, and now today. It's in Colorado. Yesterday was in Colorado. So lots of mileage. And so Elon said that it made it across the country. So I don't know what he means exactly by across the country. It might be just that, not necessarily like coast to coast or anything like that. So, and he said it was using only the supercharger network.
Well, I mean, and what else are they going to use?
An extension cord.
I know, but like, so what better way, or what else would they use?
Yeah, well, it means like they're able to do it right now even without the mega charger network, which I think is the issue. But the extension, he sort of joked about the extension cord being 1,000 miles long, which is why they're able to do it. But there's an actual real extension cord, and we can see it here.
It looks like a fire hose almost. At least a garden hose. It's like that kind of thickness.
Yeah, you can see it here. Well, I don't think you can see it right on the screen, but. Tesla's been weird about that because a bunch of people have spotted it, the sort of contraption that they built to be able to plug at the superchargers, and it sounds like they are plugging a bunch of superchargers at the same time. We've seen the actual plug on the Tesla Semi, and it's like basically 8 supercharger plugs in it, so they have like an extension cord that takes 8 supercharger cables and then plug it into the Tesla Semi, which makes sense. But for some reason, like, Tesla always protects the contraption not to be taken in pictures or anything when they stop at the supercharger, which is interesting.
I think they probably just have 1 or 2 or 3 just superchargers hooked up to it. Like, it sounds like it doesn't really, it's not really really good science. I mean, the whole reason that they split up the superchargers is so that they don't have to go over 1,000 volts, because if they go over a megavolt or at a megavolt, the electricity starts arcing, so it'll go through the. So that's why they have multiple cables. But I don't even know if they have multiple cables. They might just have 1 cable or 2 cables. I don't know.
Yeah, and they might not plug into the whole 8. Charge port.
I mean, what they could have is they could have just like 3 Model 3, you know, battery, like stacked on top of each other, each with their own supercharger thing. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. It could be just, okay, so imagine this scenario. It's 4 Model 3 motors, 4 Model 3 battery packs, and 4 Model 3, you know, supercharger ports. That would be very easy to build. And, you know, you got 4 engines. On, you know, one on each rear wheel. Doesn't seem like that would be rocket science.
Yeah, and then building that, after that you can figure out like optimization based on the system, so you can prove the system works with that. And then instead of having like 4 full Model 3 battery packs, you can combine them into one and lower your cost and lower your weight without all the redundancy of different enclosure, battery pack enclosures and cooling system and everything, and have just one single one, which is much bigger. I think that's definitely a possibility. But yeah, for sure, one thing that is sure is that the prototype made a lot of miles, had a lot of mileage over the last 2 weeks, because like we said, it was spotted in California just 2 weeks ago. Then he made its way to Arkansas to visit GB Hunt, a massive trucking company in the U.S. So that was 2,000 miles away on its own. Then a few days later, it was at UPS in Haddison, Illinois. That was another 600 miles from GB Hunt. So just in a few days, they did that. Then it was spotted in Des Moines in Iowa. That was another 300 miles from UPS Edison Center a few days later. And just last night, it was in Colorado, which is another like 500 to 600 miles.
Yeah, and one of our Twitter users who tweeted at us a bunch of, he saw it coming in, said he talked to the driver and a couple of the engineers, and it sounds like they made a lot more stops than the public ones.
Yeah, so it seemed like they were stopping at the reservation hall doors, basically. They stop, they show off the car.
Yep.
So here you see a picture of the UPS team with the Tesla Semi team. We see Jerome Gulliam in the center here, the Tesla, the head of Tesla Trucks programs, basically. And those are also Tesla engineers here working on the Tesla Semi system with the UPS team. And they actually had to test ride or test drive the truck, not sure. And they said it was a very smooth ride. They were impressed by it, the UPS team, that is. So, yeah, a lot of exciting time in the development program for Tesla Semi these days. Well, it's time to stuff. Moving on to, we were just talking about that, actually. We should have followed it. The Ontario government, what happened this week is that we reported last week that Tesla was suing the Ontario government over how they were phasing out the program without basically leaving the Model 3's buyers hanging because of a very stupid way to approach the phase out that would eliminate Tesla's opportunity to have access to it, because the orders were placed directly with them instead of with a third party franchise dealership.
And admittedly, we didn't really give them much chance of winning, but
yeah, we came down on them pretty hard, and a lot harder than the local media. I have to say, I wasn't impressed with the local coverage, which a lot of local coverage was just saying like, well, Tesla is not happy about losing the $14,000 EV incentive, which of course they weren't, but that wasn't the case in court. Case in court was actual discrimination in the way that they phased it out. And what we learned earlier this week is that the court saw what was happening, and they sided with Tesla. They basically invalidated the phase out of that the Ministry of Transportation put forward in their plan. So now it was up to the ministry to come up with a new phase out period, and that's what they did earlier today. Earlier today, we just reported that a few hours ago. Really, they updated their website with. Nope, that wasn't it.
And isn't there another component to this where people are still being charged, or the money's still going into the program, even though supposedly it's over? So people are still being charged extra money for... Where is it?
No, it's the cap and trade.
Cap and trade, yeah.
They're still taking money for the carbon tax, basically. And they're saying that they are limiting it to put money in toward a gas tax, to reducing the gas tax. So, yeah, there's some shenanigans going on here for sure. But what happened today is that they changed the language of the phase-out period. So the phase-out remains the same. You need to have your order placed before July 11th. And you need to get the car before September 10th. But instead of having just the franchise dealership thing, they updated to also, I'm quoting here, orders by dealers or by customers directly from the manufacturer. So now it includes Tesla, which only makes sense. But Tesla said that like over 100 people canceled their orders when they announced that the phase out period was weird like that. So those guys are, I mean, I suppose they could like reinstate the order without an issue, even though the order was supposed to be placed before July 11th. Since they canceled it for that reason, I mean, it would be weird for the government to refuse that from them. But then they need to have that car delivered by September 10th. And
maybe that's where the car's going.
Yeah, if Tesla knew that that was going to happen, but they didn't even knew. Like, right. we talked to them about that like a few weeks ago, and they were just like, oh, we're waiting for the government to answer. So it's not like they weren't producing car there or they were putting car aside. So
right. Although the people we talked to, A, aren't necessarily forthright, and B, maybe they don't even know the whole thing that's going on.
Yeah, that's also a possibility for sure. But yeah, at least that's partially fixed right now. You should... if you get your car by September 10th and you add your order by July 11th in Ontario, you still get the $14,000, which makes a big difference, and especially if you're already budgeting for it. So that's
a huge difference, and like you should like take advantage of it soon, because obviously September 10th is in 10 days. So like I think, you know, all of Tesla's resources should be going to getting people their cars in Ontario. There's no other... I mean, $14,000 is huge.
Mm-hmm, for sure. We learned a few cool new information also this week from Tesla. Security update. Pin to drive feature. So in the new update that is rolling out right now, which I think is 2018.32.4, they added a new feature that's called pin to drive, which is basically... just adding if you have passive entry and you get into your car automatically with your key fob or your the Model 3 doesn't have it yet, but it should have it. So in the case of the Model 3, your Bluetooth connection to your phone, when you sit down in your car to activate the driving, to put the car in drive, you get a little screen on your center display that prompts you to enter a PIN code. Like I think it's a 4-digit PIN code. So that way, it's an added layer of security when you get into the car. But the main reason why they did it is because of we reported on that a few weeks ago. There was a string of Tesla theft in Europe, last month. That was specifically near London, I think. And the thieves were using a relay attack on the key fobs. So if you had passive entry on, which means that you can just walk up to your car and the door is unlocked and you can drive it, even if the car is not within distance, they were able to hack the key to make it look like it was near the vehicle, and they were able to enter the car and escape with it. So Tesla already changed a few things. So for example, giving you the opportunity to remove the passive entries if that was something that you were concerned about. You could also just use a Faraday cage device, like there's Faraday pouches where you can put your keys inside. So that would reduce also the risk of that. But now they introduced that on top of it too, because even if the thief does that, then he needs to have your PIN to be able to get away with your car, which is kind of difficult to do. And on top of that, to remove the risk, reduce the risk, I should say, of a relay attack, they also improve the cryptography capacity inside the key fobs itself. They said that the Model X already had a more robust cryptography encryption, but and that sounds about right, because we haven't heard of Model X's being stolen really in those theft strings in Europe. It was basically only the Model S. Now they say that they're bringing the same robust cryptography capacity to the Model S. Of course, the Model 3 doesn't have the same problem, but the Model 3 is also expected to get a key fob soon.
I imagine the same kind of amplification thing could work over Bluetooth. I mean, you know, the when you're connected, when your phone says you're connected to the car, I think it means that the Bluetooth is connected. So theoretically, you could be in your house, you know, with the phone on your bedstand on, and you wouldn't be within, you know, range of the car. But if you amplified that Bluetooth signal in your phone, then all of a sudden you could connect to your car, and maybe that's something that they could use just like a key fob.
Yeah,
I'm just speculating, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know either, for sure. But Tesla says that they're bringing the same pin to drive feature to the Model 3, which points to, I think, Model 3 having its own key fob eventually, because of the, unless what you just said is true, it wouldn't make sense to bring a feature to it. Curious Sen asks if they scrap the cars when they steal it. I mean, that's basically the only thing you can do with a Model a Tesla vehicle. I think it's it would be hard to sell it back without tracing it back to the original owner.
Yeah, I think that
we've seen example of it, really, of theft, like trying to of thieves trying to get over the border with stolen Tesla parts that were actually from stolen vehicles. So yeah, that's their modus operandi, really. Another new technology that Tesla is working on. They filed a new patent for automated turn signal, automated blinkers. So when we first look at the patent, my first thought was that they're working for the autonomous driving, for self-driving, to find a way to know when the autonomous car needs to activate its turn signal. That's not it, actually. They are doing it for manual driving. So when a driver is in control of the car, they have a way to automate the signal, the turn signal, when to activate it. The logic behind it is basically for people that don't use turn signal, like those idiots who just don't use them or forget about them, which is, of course, a hazard. Tesla is basically leveraging their autopilot technology to be able to do that. Here's a little flow chart about it that shows that Tesla takes camera data output from the autopilot cameras, which determine if the vehicle is about to cross a lane or not. And then it looks at the steering angle on data sources, which tell them if the driver is actively steering the car into another lane, because otherwise it could just be the car is drifting away because the driver is not don't have their hand on the steering wheel. In this case, they're crossing the lane not because they want to, but because they are incapacitated for whatever reason. In that case, you don't want to just open the steering signal. You want to activate the warning, the lane warnings and such. But if they do apply the steering, then it means that they want to change lane. So from there, then the camera, the radar, the ultrasonic sensors and everything make sure that there's another vehicle in the vicinity that would benefit from your turn signal if you haven't activated it yet. So if you haven't activated yet, they activate it for you. So that's not ideal situation. The ideal situation is that you start before you activate it yourself, before taking any action. We all learned that in driving school, really. If you have to activate your turn signal before you're about to slow down in order to give the indication ahead of time. So that's not it. That's not what it's doing, but it's better than nothing. So if your car like cuts you in traffic without turn signal, in a Tesla it would be impossible, because at the end you will actually have a turn signal. It's a cool technology. I don't know what you think. Okay, do you hear me, Seb?
Oops, I think he dropped out a little bit.
Oh, okay. I think I'm back on.
Yep, you're back.
All right. So, do you have anything to add on the turn signal, automated turn signal?
Yeah, I mean, it's so as far as the you know, people forgetting to turn their turn signal off. I feel like that's like, you know, they typically say like that's the old people thing. But if you're blasting music, sometimes you don't hear that clicking still happening. If you hit a soft left or a soft right, I've done it once or twice in my life. print. I'll probably
that you mean you forget to remove your testing also. Yeah, you put it in the first place.
Right. I always do that. Yeah. I hate people who don't do that. It makes me crazy. Mm-hmm. So it'll be nice if Tesla's will
implement that,
get that. And I imagine they would have to have that, as you said, because that with autonomous driving, you need to have turn signals going while you're going left and right. So it just seems like an add-on that's a benefit.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I thought the way I see it, Tesla was basically working on how to detect when you need to activate the turn signal. And then probably an engineer was like, hey, that can actually be useful even when the car is not being driven by autopilot. So,
And a lawyer probably heard that and was like, we better patent that before somebody else does and we have to pay to do that.
Yeah, because of course Tesla has open source patents, but that's not the whole story. Of course, they still applied for new patent because if another company does before them, then they could be screwed if they want to use that technology. So they always patent everything anyway, even if they're open source. And speaking of autopilot, we had another news about it this week that Tesla decreased the price of the enhanced autopilot after delivery. So that means that if you haven't already purchased enhanced autopilot, which start at $5,000 when you order the car, and was $6,000 after delivery with an over-the-air update. And now if you go on Tesla's website right now, it's $5,500. So they cut $5,000 out of that price. But then we checked with Tesla. Tesla didn't respond about it. Mm-hmm. But we checked with an independent sources. And that sources was a reliable source. I said that it's actually just a temporary change. And Tesla plans to not necessarily bring back the price, but change it again by September 24th.
I don't know what's going on with their web folks. Can't make, can't put in 4,000 or 5,000 or whatever.
No, that's another thing. Okay. That's the fully self-driving thing.
Right.
That's another problem we have with it. But on this alone, what I think is interesting about that, especially with the fact that now we know that it's only temporary, is with the new trials. We reported that a few weeks back.
Yeah, I got that
started
on my Model 3.
Yeah, you got. Yeah, you're still on it.
Yep, still on it.
Yeah. So Tesla started their over-the-air free 2 weeks trials for people that have a Tesla vehicle with 2.0 and more. Autopilot hardware suite, but haven't ordered the enhanced autopilot package. Now you can get it for 2 weeks.
By the way, something that would be cool about that, you get it and you can only do it right now. It'd be cool if, like, hey, I'm going on vacation in a week and I might actually use it. That would be cool. Like, I don't drive on the highway day to day. So now I have autopilot to drive, through the backwoods to pick up my kid and back, and I'm not going on a highway at all in these next 2 weeks. So I'm blowing this chance to have autopilot check. But if I could put that in my pocket and say, yeah, in 2 months I'm going on a trip to Florida, I would love that autopilot right then there. I could actually test it, or maybe
just, you mean like getting a rain check on
yeah they just trial? You get a 2 week thing and you can either close it or accept it. So
yeah that'd be cool.
So I'm not gonna, like, I tried it once and it worked fine, but I'm not going to really get to test it because.
But you already have it on your.
Right. I'm not a good case in here.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's more for people that, especially for the Model 3s, that a bunch of people ordered the Model 3s without the enhanced autopilot. Now they can test it. And now Tesla is trying to get more people to buy it through by reducing the price by $500 temporarily, apparently. And that can give Tesla a big cash injection before the end of the quarter, which of course can help them achieving profitability, which is the big goal this quarter.
Hold out. They'll probably drop it down again. Maybe they'll drop it down to 5,000.
Yeah, I think it's more likely they bring it back to 5,000 to 6,000, because what they did is that they increased the, what you just mentioned, fully self-driving capability package. That was 2 months ago, guys. We talked about that. Tesla increased the price from $4,000 after delivery to $5,000 after delivery. And at the time, Tesla told us, because even people that ordered the car when it was at $4,000, thinking that maybe whenever Tesla is able to deliver on those features, I'm going to get it for $4,000. And now it's $5,000, so it's sort of a bait and switch kind of thing. So when we reach out about this, about it, they say, "Oh, it's our mistake. We're gonna switch it back." 2 months later, they haven't yet. It's still $5,000 for those that were ordered when it was $4,000. We heard from someone that decided to buy it, and they said they charged him $5,000 and they gave him back $1,000 later. So apparently they do give you the refund right now if you decide to order it, but they should just like change the price for people that was at $4,000. It's just for new orders at $5,000. It just doesn't make sense. It's an easy fix, but Tesla is apparently slow to do it. So that was the updates for the Autopilot this week. Another cool news that came out. Grand Basil. Do you guys know what Grand Basil is? You know what Basel is? Basel, Switzerland? The city in Switzerland or town. I don't know if it's a city or a town.
Also a spice.
Also a spice, yes. But Grand Basil is a new, basically an automotive, a car show, basically. A new car show that's starting this year in Basel. And then it's going to be like a moving car show. It's going to be in Miami next year.
It's not going to be called Grand Basel, though, right?
I think it's still going to be called Grand Basel.
But it's going to be in Miami?
Yeah.
All right, stupid.
Yeah. Well, you think it's stupid. Let me read you the description of what kind of car show is that. Grand Basel showcased a limited number of carefully selected top-of-the-range automobiles. Not just the most dignified and luxurious classic cars, but also one-off temporary editions and technically advanced concept cars. These automotive masterpieces are carefully selected from the application received with special consideration for each car's cultural meaning, conceptual innovation, conditions, provenance, rarity, and value. So guess who decided to apply for this very selective car show?
Who?
Tesla did.
Oh, wow.
I was...
That's a rhetorical question, wasn't it?
Yeah, rhetorical question, yeah. And they didn't say which car they're gonna show there, but they sent out an invite to a few select Tesla owners. And that was the picture that you're looking at right now behind me on the invite. So they said it was a surprise car that they're bringing in there, and that was a picture on it, on the invite. So to me, it looks a lot like a Roadster, and I checked with two owners that received the invitation, and both owners are Roadster reservation holders. So at this point, I think that we can pretty confidently say that the surprise car is going to be the Roadster, which is going to end up actually being the car show debut of the Roadster.
Yeah, and
I don't think this the
also the European debut.
Yeah, it's the first time outside of the U.S. Car show debut, if you even can call that thing a car show. So, good times for Tesla in Basel, Switzerland. By the way, that's next week. I didn't give you guys a date. That's going to be next week, so probably going to have some new picture of the car next week. Moving on to Ford. Ford confirmed that the next-gen electric crossover that's coming out in 2021, I think, will be inspired by the Mustang.
You picked a good example of the Mustang.
Yeah, what I picked here that you're looking at behind me is not any Mustang. It's the Mach 1 Mustang. I think it's the 69.
It's a beaut.
It's a beauty for sure. And why I picked this one is that the car itself... They announced it, I think, 2 years ago that their first all-electric car built to be electric from the ground up, so aside from the Ford Focus Electric, basically, is going to be a crossover, a CUV all-electric with over 200 or 300 miles of range. I don't remember exactly. And earlier this year, they released a video. Well, I guess we can show it here. Yeah, we can play it in the background. A video of... a teaser video that they call the new car the Mach 1, and they showed the what you see right now, an Explorer, a Ford Explorer, and a Mustang, a Ford Mustang. Both cars went into a garage, like you see now, and then some sort of magical lightning hit the garage, sort of insinuating that the cars melted together for some
looks
reason.
Looks like Frankenstein, and, I think.
Yeah, Frankenstein thing, exactly. And then a car comes out of the... You don't ever see the car, but you will, like you see right now, you think like a car is sort of going at full speed out of the garage. And they call it the Mach 1. Of course, the Mach 1, named after the 69 Mustang. So we already had a good idea that they were insinuating that the CUV would be sort of inspired by the Mustang. But Jim Farley, Ford's president of global markets, confirmed it this week. It said that they are indeed spreading the Mustang DNA. That's how they put it. I know it's kind of weird.
It's kind of gross.
Yeah, it's gross. to the electric CUV that's coming out in 2020. 300 miles of range. I have it here. They said it's 300 miles of range. So that's pretty ambitious, but for 2020, not really. And yeah, they also confirmed it's not going to be called the Mach 1 because I think they had a very big blowback from that teaser. And all those big hardcore Mustang fans, who also, most of them, big petrol heads, were sort of unhappy about Ford calling their first next-gen electric car, which is, of course, a soulless vehicle because it's electric and it doesn't make sound and everything.
Right.
Name it after a gas-gosling Hycon.
You know what they should call it?
What?
Model E.
Yeah, they actually have the not the patent, but the...
trademark.
The trademark for it.
Yep.
So that was a big thing with Tesla, between them and Tesla. Finally, we're going to also mention quickly, because we just said Tesla is bringing their car to Grand Basel. Then next week, Mercedes is unveiling the EQC. Audi, the week after that, they're unveiling the e-tron Quattro. And I think there's another car too. I'm forgetting. It's being unveiled. Oh yeah, the BMW High Vision Hynex concept vehicle, which is gonna end up being the Hynex, which is supposed to be their Tesla Model 3 killer in 2021. So they are very ambitious about that. So a bunch of electric cars gonna be unveiled in the next 2-3 weeks.
It's gonna be like a look into the future.
Yeah, for sure. Especially the Hynex one. The Hynex one is going to be the concept for the production vehicle. It's very far out, but the Mercedes is going to be the production cars, and that's what we're seeing right now. The interior of the EQC, so very much a Mercedes-like interior, nothing very new. Though the big center display looks even bigger than they've gone big with their display, their instrument cluster over the last few years. But it seems like this one's even bigger than usual. They posted a bunch of teasers ahead of the unveiling next week, including the front end of we see the grille here on the headlight. You seem to have the headlight goes all the way around the car, which is pretty cool. Same thing for the back. So that's three teaser images that they unveiled this week. But the full car is going to be unveiled the 5th. Is it when I have the date here? It's gonna be... No, I didn't even put
September 4th.
Anyway, 4th? Okay, the 4th. And it's Stockholm, right? It's in Sweden. We weren't invited.
Yeah,
come
what
on,
the heck? Man,
Daimler.
I know, and we could go to Grand Basel if we went to there. We could just do a little tour around Europe. And then the Paris Auto Show's in October.
Yeah. But between that and then, we have to be in... I have to be in San Francisco. And you have to be in Reno in a few weeks. Yeah. So we are a busy few next week, next month in electric.
I'm going to get some air miles this week.
Yeah, for sure. But thanks a lot for listening, guys. Like I said, we're going to have a big weekend to electric. I have a few article plans that I'm putting, so check it out. But as usual, thanks a lot for listening. Thanks a lot for watching on YouTube. Sorry, we are still getting used of the new setup here on YouTube with the screen. It wasn't too bad, I think. I have seen an improvement. I know a bunch of people said fix your lighting. I certainly have to do that. I tried to before the show, but with the screen, putting on the light, it screws with the camera.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there at some point for sure. I think it's an improvement, but we welcome any feedback. And please subscribe to YouTube to get our new videos and our new podcasts. And subscribe to your podcast app, audio only, if you are listening on audio only. And thanks a lot. We're going to see you same time next week. Bye-bye.